Rushdoony Radio presents An Informed Faith, The Position Papers of R. J. Rushdoony by Rufus John Rushdoony, narrated by Nathan F. Conkey, produced with permission by the Chalcedon Foundation. 5. Curzonization, Position Paper Number 204, September 1996. More than 60 years ago, as a young man, I was very much interested in the British leader George Curzon, a Member of Parliament, Viceroy of India, Lord Privy Seal, and later Foreign Secretary, First Baron and First Marquess Curzon of Kedleston. Curzon, 1859 to 1925, worshipped power, authority, and ritual. As a result, he thought highly of Turkey and of autocracies which stressed symbols. He saw it a duty to impress natives and common peoples with the trappings of power. The Delhi Durbar, monuments to the unknown soldier, and other symbolic events and cenotaphs showed Curzon's hand. Much of the ceremony common now to state functions shows the influence of Curzon. It has been called Curzonization. David Cannadine in Aspects of Aristocracy 1994 observed, quote, "For him, great ceremonials were, quote, pages of history, end quote, quote, chapters in the ritual of the state, end quote, page 83. Cannadine devotes a very long chapter to Winston Churchill, an example of this. Of Churchill, Cannadine observes, quote, "He showed no respect for religious belief or spiritual values, and his conversation was often Rabelaisian," end quote, page 149. But Churchill could not turn every speech and act into a momentous ritual and symbol. His lust for greatness he made into an imperial ritual act. He saw Britain's rise to power as the work of a small segment of Britain, an aristocracy that had propelled a people into greatness. Churchill had no idea what the common people were like and imagined them still to be small cottagers. He had been attracted to Sir Oswald Mosley, Mussolini, and fascism. But Churchill was not alone in this. Franklin Delano Roosevelt, with less ability, also saw life as a stage whereon aristocrats managed things in the name of the people. But Churchill was not alone in this. Franklin Delano Roosevelt, with less ability, also saw life as a stage wherein aristocrats managed things in the name of the people. In World War II, Britain and the United States were led by men indifferent to Christianity, while Germany, the Soviet Union, and Italy were led by men, Hitler, Stalin, and Mussolini, opposed to it. There was a logic to all this. Lord Curzon was a man who substituted forms and symbols for substance and reality. St. Paul early faced this issue. With him, and with the New Testament, definition now became a matter of inner reality, not external form. Paul insisted in Romans 2:28 and 29, that the true Jew is one who is a Jew inwardly, from the heart, not merely by circumcision. It is hard at this distance to recognize the religious revolution this created, because the Greco-Roman world was content with external definitions. Muhammad expressed the counter-revolution to Paul and Christianity by declaring that he is a true Muslim who is one outwardly. Curzon and the 20th century are in line with Muhammad, and the political leaders now admired represent this externalism and hypocrisy. About 30 years ago, I was told of a group of intellectual and cultural leaders that it was radically tolerant of any kind of immoral behaviour performed discreetly, but radically intolerant of any moral standards on any grounds. This describes rather well the culture of our day. Many of the televised ceremonies of our day award celebrations, political non-events made momentous, academic ceremonies, ecclesiastical professionals, and more are best described as a result of Curzonization. Critics saw in Lord Curzon an, quote, insufferable sense of superiority, not for him the sordid policy of self-effacement, end quote, page 78. Much of the supposedly ancient imperial pomp of Britain has its origin in the Curzon era. Oxford, too, felt the effect of Curzonization when he became Chancellor. But that is not all. Curzonization now appears even in middle-class weddings, performed with much pomp and more expense, followed by receptions at greater costs and pretentiousness. Simplicity and economy are somehow in bad taste. Curzon's premise was, impress the peasants and natives. But what about God? More than once, God, through the prophets, expressed contempt for the solemn assemblies of a hypocritical people. He saw these as a form of rebellion. He declared that, in all these pretentious forms, the faithful city had become a harlot. Lord Curzon restored at great expense some magnificent mansions, Kettleston, Derbyshire, Bodiam Castle, Sussex, Montacute House, Somerset, and Tattershall Castle, Lincolnshire. Two of these were bequeathed to the National Trust. He was an earnest and dedicated servant of the monarchy and empire, but he was also a prime example of the new temper of men and nations. After Darwin, men turned from a moral and religious imperative to a man-centred one. Their concern ceased to be pleasing God, but became instead impressing men. In the colonial era, the imperative to children was pleasing God and their parents as duty to him. By the late 1950s, college and university students were telling me that the governing force on campus was peer pressure, pleasing one's classmates and meeting with their approval. Since then, the power of peer pressure has grown. Nothing is more calculated to make a people easily controlled than peer pressure. A modern term for an old fact, the fear of man. The fear of man is a condition of tyranny, and only the fear of God can counteract it and prevail. Well done for listening all the way to the end. This is Nathan, the narrator, speaking to you from Puebla, Mexico, from the Faith for All of Life school in which I teach English as a volunteer. I teach from kinder through high school. Now, I rely on donations in order to keep teaching and recording, so if you want to support a Faith for All of Life school in Latin America and want to keep listening to Rush Dooney while you vacuum, drive or cook, commute or whatever you're doing right now, donate at ctn.org/Nathan Conkey. That's NathanConkey, all lowercase. Or if you prefer PayPal, paypal.me/NNathan. Capital C Conkey. You can also email me at nfconkey, that's nfconkey@gmail.com. Thanks, and I look forward to speaking to you very soon.